Would you turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, and we will consider this morning verses 38 through 42. Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. This is from the New King James Version. This is what the Word of God says. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha came. Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of God. This morning, I want to try to say something about maintaining spiritual balance. Maintaining spiritual balance. And this is my Mother's Day sermon. Maintaining spiritual balance. Balance. How do you maintain balance in your spiritual life? How do you maintain balance in your spiritual life? With all that is demanded of us today, it can be challenging to maintain balance. The goal is to maintain a healthy spiritual life through practice of daily prayer and personal communion with God, and at the same time to be fully engaged in the daily tasks that require our attention. We are called to be diligent and active in God's world, and at the same time to be a person of prayer and contemplation. Some people fall heavy on the spiritual side. They are all about prayer and personal devotion. They have advice and counsel. They are fervent in worship and Bible reading, and that's very helpful and necessary. Others are all about doing something. They are the activists, feeding the hungry, visiting the sick, socially engaged, as they should be. Some people are so heavenly minded that there's no earthly good, while others are so socially engaged that they have no spiritual power. The goal is balance. Balance is realized through a life of contemplation and progressive action. The psalmist wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures." That's contemplation. But he also wrote in the same psalm, "He leads me beside the still waters." And that's active, progressive. Even our Lord took time from the demands of meeting the needs of the crowds. He went away to be re-energized through prayer and quiet meditation. Even Jesus had to work at balance in his life. The text today teaches us something about balance. And it does so through the contrasting spirits of two wonderful women of God, Martha and Mary. They are two sisters. Both are believers. Both have love for the Lord, and both are called by Jesus to be his friends. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their brother, whom he had raised from the dead. Our Lord chose the home of Martha and Mary frequently for rest, and he was always welcome in their house. Martha, we presume to be the oldest sister and an ardent follower of Jesus. She found joy in serving him, and she was especially delighted to entertain him in their home, in her home. When Jesus shows up at Bethany in the scene in the text, Martha's first thought was to roll out the proverbial red carpet. She was careful about many things. Martha was the kind of person that was meticulous in her attention to detail. It was personal for her because Jesus was her Lord. There were things that had to be attended to, and Martha wanted everything just right for Jesus. He was special, and he deserved her special attention. She was given the best that she had, but it was becoming emotionally overwhelming, physically exhausting, and spiritually draining. She started to worry. She lost control of her temper. Frustration set in, and then vexation. She was doing what she thought was the right thing to do for Jesus, but she did it without consulting him. Some of you who are listening to me today know how easy it is to get caught up in doing things, especially in light of the fact that there is always something to do. Today is Mother's Day, and this message is primarily for you. There is a dated adage that says, a woman's work is never done. And while that's an old saying, there are some mothers listening to me today who can definitely identify with that statement. You work from the time you open your eyes in the morning to the time you fall asleep, exhausted in the evening. During this pandemic, over the past year, people have been confined to their homes, and it seems like we've become busier than ever. People are more active than they have ever been. Doesn't it feel that way to you? People work harder at home, work more hours from home than they did when they were showing up at the workplace every day. At home, you are logging in more hours, taking shorter lunch breaks, and no breaks in between. You have to be reminded by your device to stand up and take a break and take a stretch. When you were going to the workplace every day, the commute home, as hurried as it was at least time to transition that allowed you a transition time between the work environment and the home environment. But now, when you work at home, that transition time is gone. So you step out of your office space at home right into the home environment where there is always something that needs to be done. Mothers, you know what I'm talking about. Children and everything that comes with them, including now their schoolwork being done at home, and you have to oversee that. And then there is the cooking and all the activities around cooking and washing dishes and all of that stuff. And then there is cleaning behind your children and then preparing for tomorrow when you will go through the same routine over again. And if you're not careful, you will burn out or flip out or check out or become chronically stressed out. You need balance. Now, I just need you to indulge me for a minute, moms, because there's some other people in other categories in similar situations, and the Lord has a word for you this morning. For you Christian business people, you self-employed believers, Christian artists and innovators and entrepreneurs, you're working harder these days, and it's both admirable and necessary for success. You plan your work, you work your plan. You are on the grind from sunset to from sunrise to sunset. There is always another meeting. Always another client to meet, always another deal to close, another move to make, another deadline to meet, another opportunity to be exploited. It's exhausting and exhilarating, sometimes frustrating and irritating. But the word from the Lord this morning is that you remember that you belong to God.
And since you belong to God, recognize that he is the one who opened doors of opportunity. He is the one who sends clients your way. He is the one who gives you the creativity of mind and insight that you need to achieve the goals that he has placed in your vision. And he is to be prioritized above all things. You need balance. I'm talking to community activists and honorable politicians this morning. You need balance in your life. Your spiritual life is as important or more important than your activism. You are advocating for justice, speaking truth to power, organizing, strategizing, writing legislation. You are engaged in advocating for the poor, the elderly, the voiceless, and the oppressed. You are speaking up on behalf of the alienated and the underrepresented. It's endless work. It's challenging and demanding. And at times, you are exhausted from the fight. There is a danger that you become like Martha in our text today and become frustrated and irritated and angry. You need balance. To the students, primarily high school and college seniors, busy with final exams and term papers and job interviews and graduation, preparing to move either to college campus or off college campus to launch your careers. The hustle and bustle around social obligations, the search for apartments to live in, getting the resources you need to move up to the next level, that too can become frustrating, demanding, taxes, onerous, and burdensome. And what about the believers who work in the church, doing what they believe what the Lord has called them to do? They are on every committee, present at every meeting. You're like Martha, you know, and you're saved and you're loved by God and you love God. You're sincere in your efforts and your heart's desire is to be pleasing to God. But be careful to make sure that there is balance in your life. Martha is a wonderful person. She's a great personality. She is a friend of Jesus, and she's honest in her intention, but she has lost balance. With all that's going on in the world, in your family, in your business, in society at large, and in your personal life, it's not easy to maintain balance. In order to be spiritually healthy, prayer and personal communion with God is an absolute necessity. Without spiritual balance, even your prayer life can be misguided. Listen to how Martha speaks to her Lord in verse 40. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Where's the reverence? She's making accusations against the Lord, implying that he is being inconsiderate, that he is neglecting her needs in favor of Mary. And she doesn't ask him what his will is in the situation. She demands that Jesus obey her command. She says, tell her to help me. Notice, though, that Jesus does not respond in anger. He understands what you're going through. He knows the details of your life. He knows your stress points. And he knows what is impacting your life. He understands, and he is not angry with you. But he speaks to you through his word. Jesus doesn't get angry with you. He gently redirects. Listen to his response. Martha, sweetheart, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Mary models the secret
to balance by her action in the text. The text says, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Everything going on around her, all that needs to be done, it's not just Mary's, Martha's house, it's her house too. Martha doesn't love Jesus more than Mary does. Martha's passion for service is not greater than Mary's, but Mary has discovered balance in her life. She modeled. She sat at Jesus' feet. And what is she doing there? It's clear in the text. She sat there and, quote, heard his word. That's what she was doing. She withdrew from the activities around her so as to concentrate on listening to the word of God. Amen. Like you're doing right now. Blessed is the person who takes time out of their schedule to listen to the word of God. Those who take time for daily devotion, prioritizing hearing from the word of God. I know people who read the newspaper every morning. I know others who read blogs the first thing in the morning. Others read articles and journals related to their professional interests. And all of these things are good, but there is nothing as beneficial to the soul as the word of God. And that's why those of you who wake up in the morning before your children wake up and you open the word of God and you have personal time with him, that's why you can deal with your day the way you do. That's why the Lord is always at the forefront of your thinking. And people don't understand why you are so spiritual, and the secret to your spiritual balance that helps you to work through your day is the fact that you wake up early in the morning. And before you do anything else, you sit at Jesus' feet. You hear the word of God. My brothers and sisters, there is nothing more beneficial in the life of the believer than the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We cannot literally sit at Jesus' feet, but we have the written word of God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God, and in his law he meditates both day and night, and as a result he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. There is nothing more beneficial to the soul of the saved than the word of God. In the word of God, there is the truth of God about salvation. In the word of God strengthens you when you grow weary. The word of God ministers to your spirit by the power of the Holy Ghost. The word of God encourages you when you are discouraged, as God speaks to your heart through his word. The word of God comforts when you're weary and wounded by the troubles of the world. The word of God provides guidance when you are confused about which direction to take. His word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The word of God gives assurance when you doubt. It reminds you that you have a purpose. The word of God confirms the presence of God, and his presence is in your life. He has promised never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. There is nothing more beneficial to your soul than the word of God. The word of God gives freedom from religion and strengthens relationship with God. It's milk for the new believer, it's meat for the mature, and it's medicine for the sin-sick soul and the guilt-ridden. The word of God speaks salvation and redemption and reconciliation, and it speaks of God's amazing grace. The word of God is a cleansing agent. It edifies, and it's lasting. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. There are benefits when you take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Take devotional time, Bible study time,
worship experience. Don't miss worship. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. 3 points I want to make, and I'm finished. The first thing, Jesus says, one thing is needed. One thing is necessary. There is one thing that carries more weight than all the other things. There are many pursuits that are noble and requires time and intelligence and energy, patience and skill. But there is one thing that is necessary. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to your life. There is only one first. The one thing that is necessary is a deep and abiding relationship with God. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. In order to bear fruit, in order to be productive, you must abide in me. You've got to sit at my feet. For without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be aware, my brothers and sisters, that there is only one thing that is necessary. Secondly, Mary chose the best part. Remember that. This is a matter of the will. What will you choose? God will not force you to choose him. He just demonstrates his great love and power. And then you choose. But when you choose Jesus, you've chosen the best part. When you choose him, you have chosen a life of peace and love. When you choose him, you have chosen God's plan and purpose for your life. When you choose him, you could not have made a better choice, because when you choose him, you have chosen the best part. The songwriter says, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Because when you have Jesus, you have the best part. And then finally, not only is there one thing necessary, and not only has Mary chosen the best part, but then Jesus says, it will never be taken. Everything in this world will be taken. All that you have achieved, all of your accolades, all of your degrees, all of that stuff will be taken. All that you have earned, all the money that you have accumulated, your stocks and your bond and your gold, all of that will be taken. Your excellent physical strength, your vitality and your youth, all will be taken. Your beauty and your good looks will be taken. Amen. Your keen mind and your exceptional abilities and skills, all will come to an end. Your time in this world will run its course. This mortal body will turn to dust, and you will leave this world behind. But if you have chosen Jesus, the one who died on Calvary to redeem you from the bondages of sin, if you have chosen Jesus, who became a sacrifice that satisfies the justice of God, if you have chosen Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then you have chosen the best part, and it will never be taken away. You and I will stick our swords in the sands of time. We will close our hymn books and Bible to study war no war. We will all step on board that old ship of Zion and sail across Jordan's stilly stream. And the thing that is lasting forever is the one who waits on the other side with arms wide open and welcomes us home, all to his house. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God when everything else is gone, when everything else is past, I still have the best part, and his name is Jesus. I wonder if you don't mind calling his name this morning. His name is Jesus. Hey, the one who died, was buried, and raised from the dead on the third day. My brothers and sisters, you need balance in your life. Spend some time every day on a regular basis at the feet of Jesus. Come on, give God some praise.